Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Wake Up Zone, 835 on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and have some fun with instant games today. Coming up shortly, the return of Take 3. We'll do that about 15 minutes from now. Bring in Chris Lee from VandySports.com. Talk about what's going on over on West End. Chris, how you doing this morning?
I'm excellent. You guys?
We're doing well. Who is next in the MLB draft from Vandy after we saw J.J. Bleday go number 4 overall to Miami last night?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think it's probably Philip Clark. It might be Drake Fellows, but today will be really interesting because I think that's where the bulk of their starting lineups could go. Of course, you got seniors like Ethan Paul who probably go today, who won't be back regardless. And Fonte will go somewhere. I think it's probably tomorrow. But I'm really interested to see what happens with DeMarco and Clark because those are kids who are draft-eligible sophomores. And you've got some extra leverage because I think both of them are capable of having all-SEC-type years next year. So I think a team that drafts them needs to pay up because I think they both got a shot to come back next year and really maybe help themselves a little bit more.
Chris, Philip Clark has made big strides in his defensive work behind the plate. He can definitely swing the bat. How do you think teams look at that, professional teams that are considering drafting him?
That's a good question. He doesn't really have an identifiable weakness. I mean, I think there's things that he's not elite at, but he does everything pretty well. I still think he's a better hitter, and he had good stats, but I think he's a better hitter than his stats show. When you've got a catcher who's got the kind of patience and eye at the plate and has got the good arm, it might need to get a little bit more accurate. He frames pitches well, might get a little bit better. I don't know. I look at him, and he's interesting because I think that if he could, I'm not going to say do a J.J. Bleday, because that's a lot to bite off. But if he could put a little bit more loft in his swing and go to maybe a 15-home run guy, I really would be interested to see if that would make him, say, a first or second rounder. But he's awfully good as it is.
As far as what's happening this weekend, Sirius Vandy and Duke starts on Friday. You have to kind of be careful not to overlook Duke if you're just kind of looking at it from the outside looking in. In that, you say, okay, well, figure probably going to be playing West Virginia or Texas A&M, but now Duke sneaks in here, and you feel like maybe you like your chances better. How do you look at this series?
Yeah, first of all, Duke did well, I think, just to get here. It was one of the last four in the tournament, and it did it without some of its better players. They had a first-round arm who didn't pitch for them much this year, who was considered maybe the best college arm in the whole draft coming into the season. They didn't have him all season. They had a couple of injuries late. And Murray and Maxwell, who are starters, and they're not Maxwell, but Murray, their shortstop, and the kid they've replaced him with is almost a zero offensively. So I don't know. I don't think they're on paper super impressive, but they did get here. And Duke has started to pick up some talent. They got really good starting pitching this weekend. I think a couple guys may have pitched a little bit over their head. I'm really anxious to see what their situation is with their lineup coming into the weekend. I think getting the Ethan Murray kid back changes the complexion of their lineup a little bit. But even with him, that's a series Vanderbilt should win. It's clearly the better team. But, Kevin, sometimes in postseason baseball and short series, some crazy stuff happens, and you can never take anybody for granted.
Chris, this time of year, you got to go with maybe cold-blooded logic over sentiment. What did you think of Corbin passing over Patrick Raby, for Mason Hickman as his number 3 starting pitcher?
I think it's something he had to do. I hate to say this because I like Patrick. And Tim is sentimental. He will ride a player out for a long time if he likes him. He did it with Julian Infante. It has paid off now. And I know people look at Raby and they say, well, he's got a 290 ERA. He's their all-time leading program guy in wins. You look at the ERAs, his is 290, Hickman's 212, and you're like, well, maybe there's not that much difference. But you look at base runners per 9-inning pitch, Raby's 1.54, Hickman is a tick under 1. That's a big difference. And that's going to catch up eventually. Hickman is just so solid. And to me, it changes the complexion of the rotation entirely. Because like with Rocker, you know what you're going to get. He's going to give you about six, maybe seven, give up one, maybe two or three at the most. Fellows, more often than not, is good, but there's about that 25% of the time where he's not good at all. And if you get one of those and you sandwich it with the time with Raby where he's not good at all, which has been the last two times, that can change your weekend and eliminate you. I think with Hickman, you know he's going to be really good. Even when he didn't have his stuff the other night, he still held a pretty good Indiana State team to a run. I think now that they've got him in there in one of their three, if he keeps pitching well, they can't take him out. I think you may look back at the end of the year, and if they win the whole thing, that may be the thing that made the difference.
Chris, shifting to basketball, I think we can agree that one of our primary criticisms of Bryce Drew was that his players didn't get better through the course of a season. What about the article in The Athletic on Jerry Stackhouse and his impact on Toronto's success with what he did coaching Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, among others, in the D&G League? And now, you know, they've ascended to major roles on this team in the finals.
I think that's got to be encouraging because neither Siakam or VanVleet were elite prospects, and both of them had really good NBA careers. I think they need somebody who can come in and instill toughness. That is sort of his trademark. My question mark is kind of one of the same that we had with the last staff about experience and do they have the right assistant mix. And in terms of his three guys, boy, they're even greener than the last three, but the way that they have filled it out with support staff, advisors, things like that, I think may make up for it.
If you don't mind me jumping in, what's Ricardo Patton's role going to be? Is he going to be sitting on the bench during the games?
That's a good question. I think that he gets some input. I don't know the degree of the input that he'll get. I had this discussion with somebody else. I can't remember who it was, but the opinion I got was that he gets some input in game. And I think if he does, that makes up for a lot of deficiencies and lack of experience elsewhere, if that's the case.
Chris Lee is our guest for VandySports.com. Chris, thanks as always. We'll catch up with you again down the road.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. I think that's a good question about the staff that Jerry Stackhouse has put together and kind of what the roles are going to be. You got a lot of people in there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there are certain rules that have to be followed, I guess, on who's allowed to sit on a bench, through the course of a game. And, you know, Ricardo Patton would be a great asset for Jerry Stackhouse, being not only a former coach, but a successful former coach, and a guy who's sort of been through the wars.